The Corian Football Club podcast is kindly sponsored by the Lodge Hotel, famous for food, functions, and fantastic value.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the official Corian podcast. And you'll notice a different voice has opened up this week's show. And as we all know, it's the January transfer window. And well, Damian Mullen, he's been sent packing. So there's been a swap in for Damian. So Stevie Crawford has joined the fold. So Stevie, Belfast Live journalist and well known face. How are you? How's the form?
Not too bad, Johnny. Yeah, just waiting my agent there to sort out the fee there. I'm hoping it's going to be a big money move and maybe retire on it, you know. But we'll see. Damien's probably getting that age now, isn't he? Where he just needs to be put out to pasture.
He told us he's in Belfast today, and I'm just looking outside. He must have got there in a snowplow or something. I don't know how you'd have got there, a husky or something. I don't really know how you got there. But anyways, look, as always, we just like to thank our sponsor, the Lodge Hotel. And you can join them for dinner and enjoy two delicious courses for only £19.50. Their menu, includes bistro favourites, choice of starter dessert with a main course, which is available Monday to Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. And you can book a table online as well, so that sounds pretty good. So, well, speaking of the January transfer window, this week's guest joins us. Rory Brown joined us in the January transfer window, obviously, from Glenavon. So, Rory, how's the form? Thanks for coming on. Stevie just mentioned there about an agent fee. Please don't add to our very expensive podcast this week. How's the form?
I think there's already been enough money spent on me, so I'll not ask for anything off these boys. I know, good boys. Thanks for having me on. So looking forward to it.
And what's the snow like up in your neck of the woods?
We probably haven't had it as bad as some. Certainly, Jamie McGonagall there up in Dungiven. He's definitely snowed on, so at least I don't have it as bad as him. I can nip to the gym. So training's obviously off. Roads are too dangerous for all the lads traveling. So just have to get our own bit done now for the weekend. So all you can do, really.
Yeah, I'm out in Armagh here, and I've never seen it as high in all my life. So, yeah, pretty nice and white. And then there's other places I've seen in the news, and they haven't really had a tap. So that's just the way we live. But Roy, chat us through obviously your career then. So, being a goalkeeper, where did that come from? They always say they're mad. I know Stevie was a goalkeeper as well. And where did that come from? Were you always a goalkeeper, or where did it all start?
I wasn't actually. I was a left back. I was a left back. They would think. It's under 14s, and one of the keepers didn't show up one day and stuck me in nets, and that was me. Never looked back. But my dad was a goalkeeper, so that's probably where I get it out of. He was probably raging that I wasn't a goalkeeper anyway, so he's probably buzzing him. And boy, the wee boy didn't show up, and I was stuck on.
Would it be right in saying you started? Was it Derry or Stute or both of them, or where did you? What junior?
Maiden City. So it was Maiden City. I was never a goalkeeper there. I was Maiden City, and then. I can't really remember what happened. I left, and I was playing for a wee team called Trojans, and that's when the keeper didn't show up, and then I was stuck on then, and ended up playing. Just played there for a couple of years, and then moved on. Obviously, they didn't play in the National League. I moved to a wee team called Colmore. He was in the National League at the time. Stayed there, I think, it was for one season in the National League, and then can't remember if I had already signed for Wolves. I think I was already signed for Wolves, ready to go over when I was 16, and then I played my last season. For the crews under 17s. That was the last year before, and then I moved on.
And speaking of Wolves, then how did that come about? Was it tough to go? Was it tough to leave the family? And was Jack Scott and Lee Harkin there at the time? No, or just maybe a few years.
They're a couple of years younger than me. So what happened was, obviously, I was playing for Northern Ireland at the time, and then all them games, you have scouts at all in games, obviously. I think I was actually playing for Derry in the Mull Cup, and then my first trial was the United. That just blew me out of the water. I don't think I was really ready at the time. Like, going to keep her for 2 years or something, and you're going to Carrington, and you're looking around you and thinking, what am I doing here? Like, you know what I mean? Then just plenty of other trials, and I eventually got the best deal at Wolves, and that's where I settled and agreed to sign. But them two lads. They are, I think, they're, I think Jack's actually 21, so he's 2 years. So he was, I was gone by the time he was there, and same with Lee. But they actually stayed in the same digs as I was on. Finding out that recently.
And Stevie, what about you then when you were in Nets? Say any trials at Man United, or did you start at left back, or what was the crap?
I was left back in the changing room, I think. So I was just interesting to hear about Rory. I came across a video on YouTube of when you were at Wolves, and was it Jimmy Bullard was there and he was taking shots at you?
It was they used to do a thing on Soccer AM called You Know the Drill. And I can't really remember. They usually take sort of an academy goalkeeper out of it, so I was stuck in there. And I was lucky I had a blinder in it, and he was blowing me left, right, and centre. But I was good to be getting it out there and stuff. But I think I was first year scholar, and I was 16. But I had Jimmy Bullard, of some value, unreal.
The bulldog.
The bulldog guy, he's unbelievable. And then what do you call it? Is it Tubes?
Tubes
and
yeah.
Fenner, like, they were there. They were involved in it too. So it was brilliant being involved in that so young.
What was it like being at Wolves in terms of living away from home? How did you find that aspect of it?
I didn't really struggle being away from home, to be honest with you, because I sort of see the year before I was going sometimes. On a way, I was only doing Monday to Wednesday at school, and then I was going over there Thursday to the weekend. So it sort of got me prepared to go back going full time. But when I got there, and I was flying the first season, you don't really get home very much. Like, you don't, sort of some days you would have got a couple of days off, but then the manager and stuff would have said, "Look, I don't want you traveling home and stuff." But other than that, you were sort of stuck in things, like, and it was sort of. You were looking back here and all your mates are doing whatever, but it didn't really affect me in that, and in that sort of way, like, I was sort of tuned into what I wanted to do, really.
And when your time was coming to the end at Wolves, did you want to come home, or do you think you should have stayed in England or Scotland, or was your mind already made up?
Well, what happened was I'd done 2 years at Wolves, and I was certainly not really enjoyed anymore. So I went on a loan to Huddersfield. So I was at Huddersfield. I was training first team every day, and I was loving it. And they offered me a contract to bring me from Wolves. And then I went away on international duty and done my meniscus. So then I had to go back to Wolves. And then the deal from Huddersfield obviously got pulled because of my injury. So then I wasn't enjoying it at Wolves at all. So I pulled the plug and I came home for a bit. Actually signed for Corian, I think.
Yeah, because whenever you signed it, I always do the appearances, and I seen you had a one beside your name, and then I had to message Marshall Gillespie, and you played in a Northwest Cup game. So.
Northwest Cup game, I remember that.
Aye, which counts as obviously a first team game, I suppose. And okay. I think was Oran the manager, or did he just go, or was it Rodney?
It was Rodney McGree was the manager. I actually remember Doogie was playing centre half in front of me. So that tells you how long ago that was. Not Oran had just gone to St Mirren, I think. Oran signed me. I think the week later he was gone and Rodney came on. And I was just training really there. I wasn't really involved in any match day squads or anything. And then I think I left Corian, and then I went back to England for a bit. I went back to a few clubs to sort of where I wanted to be. You know what I mean? I went back home and just thought, this isn't for me. I know where I want to be. And I went and couple of League One, League Two teams, and the money was absolutely terrible that they offered me, so sort of would have been hard to love, like. So I ended up coming home and signing for shoot, and then just getting a job, like, which I would have been well more off. So but the money was absolutely terrible. It was shocking.
Yeah, and obviously your time at Stuart, I think you maybe played in a game where Stuart beat Corian, was it 2 or 3-1 that you reminded me the other day? And but I suppose, but playing first team football was probably what you needed, and probably came at a really, really good time.
Definitely. Some people don't realise, like, playing academy football, you're nearly 23, there's giving you no benefits at all. Like, so I was actually given a good advice, and then I came home and started playing first team football at a good standard. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like it's the best standard in the country. So I think that was the COVID season. I think I was at Stuart, the first one. I remember wee Browner hit one from a halfway line. Chris Johns, like, slapped, and I think it ended up 3-1, right? But then the second half of the season got cancelled, so I think we only played one round of games that year.
Was Paddy McLaughlin the manager? No.
Paddy had just went to Cliftonville. It was Sean Connor.
Sean Connor, I remember. Yeah, very good. No, you definitely weren't nearly or close with a lot of good managers in your career. And then obviously your good performances at Stuart, I think, was at Glentoran then after that, and obviously moving to the Glens.
Well, that was me. Do you know what? I wanted to get back into full-time football, and I couldn't really turn it down. Like, I knew that I was going as a number two. They obviously signed the big Gibraltar lad. I remember that. So they went and they told me, but he was going away on international duty at certain times, and he told me that's when I was going to get my opportunity to play, because obviously the Irish League don't get an international break. So I think I played, is it 18 times first season for Glentoran? But that was all COVID year too. There was no fans or nothing. But I actually remember big deal went on international duty, and it was the first game we were playing Warren Point away. And whatever, I think it was my debut, I can't remember, but Luke McCullough gave me sort of a dodgy back pass, and it was going out for a corner. I don't know what I've done, but I've tried to scoop it or something for throwing, and I ended up just giving it to the striker, and they've gone on 1-0, and thinking, oh my god, what a start. Like, but ended up 1-2-1, Jay Donnelly got a brace, so thanks to him.
Yeah, your blushes were spared then. And Stevie, you're a goalkeeper yourself going in. I'm sure what do you think Roy's mindset would have been going to the Glens, obviously going as a number two, obviously because he played nearly every weekend for Stuart.
I'm sure it was challenging, but I'm sure it was an opportunity that you probably felt that you couldn't turn down, Roy, because at that stage, the investment and all come into the Glens and they go to full-time football. I'm sure it was an exciting prospect, like, and you're going to one of the biggest clubs in the country as well.
I definitely, do you know what I mean? I couldn't turn it down. They're one of the few clubs back then that was full-time. And you're thinking, here's just a good opportunity, even though it was going on too, but you have to back yourself as well. Like, but then when the big man came in, I thought that they'd really challenge here to go and take a number one spot, but things really don't work out that way, and whatever happened. Like, but you have to back yourself, really. Well, unless you're happy to sit on the bench and whatever they say, collect your ways, but I'm definitely not that sort of person. Like, I want to be challenging, and then I want to be playing every week.
Are you working under Mick McDermott at that stage, were you, Roy?
Mick was there then. He was there was under contract for the Glens for 2 years. Mick was there, and then I ended up going on loan to Ballinamallard then the second year.
Very good. And how did you find, because obviously you were full-time at Wolves or whatever, and then how did you find it going then from full-time to part-time to full-time?
Stuart was the first time I was ever part-time in my life. And then obviously it's hard transitioning, because you're trying to work to get a job, because you're not getting paid enough at Stuart as a full-time wage. And then you're having to try and find time to get them extra sessions in that you're used to keep ticking over. So it is challenging. Like, and then I went back into full-time. And then I went back into part-time again. So I probably learned, I was lucky that I learned how to sort of deal with it the second time around, and probably why I had such a good season last year.
At the Glens, was Elliot Morris your goalkeeper coach? He broke Corian's heart so many times with really good performance. Was he your goalkeeping coach then, was he?
I was with the goalkeeping coach there. I know I wear Elliot's gloves as well, so we've got a really good relationship with him. And you know what, I can't say a bad word about the man. He was always pushing you, working you hard, and you know, I need somebody to be truthful with me as well. I don't need someone blowing sunshine up your backside, because it doesn't get you anywhere, and there's no benefit to that. And he was actually good for that. So I have a lot of thanks for the work you've done for me.
Stevie, would you say Big L maybe one of the best keepers in your lifetime watching the Irish League?
Yeah, I think he's probably up there as one of the most consistent, like, you know, and every time he played, he was just, he always come across as a very calm goalkeeper, you know, just never one of these ones that's ranting and raving, just steady Eddie, and always pulled a save out of the hat, like, you know. And I think when you're playing for a top team, you maybe don't have a lot to do in a game, but whenever the moment comes, he's able to produce that. And as you say, countless games down the years with Corey Aim, you think you're going to get a goal, and then next thing, his hand comes out or a foot comes out, and you're disappointed again. But he's a sign of a good goalkeeper, and it's great to see him still involved in the game, because he's so much to offer.
He can still play now if he wanted, eh? Like, I'll tell you after three.
Oh, he always kept himself in really good shape. You must be needing a pair of gloves, eh, for that plug you just gave him. And then what about, obviously, Balam Allard? I think you went there and loaned. And Harry McConkey, probably the manager, was it back then? Or
Harry was up there. He was the one that signed me. Another great man. I can't have a bad word to say about him. Really honest and hard working, like, you know what I mean. Balam Allard part time, but he would have treated it like it was full time. That's probably why he had so much success at the club, because he took his job so seriously. But I had to use that as well. Sort of, obviously, it's not where you want to be in the Championship. But you know what, you just had to go down there and play, get playing games. Because if I sat at the Glens on the bench for a full season, then you know what, it's going to get me nowhere. Like, so that's what you sort of have to have in the back of your mind. I'm down here to get games under my belt and try and help the team as well.
Is a playing service there still a carpet?
Unbelievable. I don't know how they do it. But it's probably the best in the Premiership as well, or in Munster maybe. But fair play to them up there.
Obviously then, Glenavon come calling, and Gary Hamilton always had a good word to say about you as well. And suppose you couldn't really turn down that opportunity when a Premiership, because obviously you'd done the hard yards at Balam Allard in terms of going out and getting games, and then obviously a Premiership team comes in for you and probably a no-brainer.
Well, I actually had agreed to sign for Glenavon before I went on loan to Balam Allard. So I was meant to leave the Glens and go to Glenavon, but Glens were asking for too much money for me, and Glenavon couldn't pay the price at that stage. So then I had to run my contract out, and then I signed when I was a free agent for Gary. So it was sort of nearly a year in the running.
No brainer to sign for them.
Absolute no brainer. Gary as well was a massive influence on it, even though that it was an absolute jaunt up the road. Like, it was something I couldn't turn down, because first of all, Gary, Reggie, goalkeeping coach, so much experience in the Irish League. You're just thinking, look, how can you turn it down when they're giving you the opportunity? When, look, I'm playing the Championship last year, they don't really have to give me an opportunity, like, but Gary was good enough to do that.
Obviously, he'd been tracking you for a long time. But would it be fair to say that Johnny Tuffy, did he leave that January just before, or was it the summer?
I think Johnny left, and I think he left actually the year. Remember, I said I was supposed to sign the first time. And then they had a fella called Highland, I think.
That's right.
And then the wee young lad then was there for 6 months before. What was his name? He's at Celtic now, I think.
Oh, George Clark.
That's fair. So he was there for a couple of months before I went then.
Well, Steve, I suppose Gary then always had his eye on Rory, and I suppose Rory had to make him sweat and wait for a year now.
I think when they lost Tuffy, it was a big massive blow to Glenavon, and that was, Gary was always on the hunt for a number one, and like, obviously somebody of the standard of Rory comes on the market, and you know, it was a bit of a no brainer for him, like, you know. And like, it's just thinking there that for all the age that you are, Rory, in terms of, you know, you've got a load of experience behind you playing in the Irish League, and that is that something you think that stands you in good stead, like, you know?
Well, I remember a first team goalkeeping coach at Wolves, Pat Mountain, always said to me, when a club's looking at you, they sort of look for, see what experience you have, and say, I'm sitting at, say, whatever, you take anybody as an example, say, 23-year-old sitting, I think I'm nearly at 150 appearances now. They're going to jump at you rather than someone that's playing academy football for the last 3 or 4 years. You know what I mean? Because you have that men's football experience under your belt, and something you can't buy, really. Like,
and how do you find there? Because obviously, people say that there's that physicality. Like, you know, how do you find it compared to maybe your time in England? Do you find like the goalkeeper you are target a bit more? Like, you know, when there's a bit more physicality about it.
I, to be honest with you, I really struggled at the start of the shoot. You're playing academy football over there. You're coming to take crosses. Nobody's trying to challenge you. You're playing out from the back unchallenged. You know what I mean? It's pass, get it back, all that sort of rubbish. But then you're going on. I think my debut was at Stute was Cruise in the Brandywell, 7-0. chicken, big chicken started up front. And I remember coming for a cross. Can't remember what the score was, and big chicken. I'm saying it was a free lick, but he's absolutely just emptied me, and the balls end up in the back of the net. And there you go. Welcome to the Irish League, lick. So you definitely have to learn. And you have to learn from your mistakes big time and fast, because it's such a physical league, look, and you get no time really on the ball either.
How do you reflect on your time at Glenavon? I know that's a very difficult question to answer, probably, but how do you reflect on your whole time there?
And I really enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, it was absolutely brilliant for me. I think Gary was probably one of the main reasons as well why I enjoyed it so much, because I had such a good relationship with him. The season I had last year was probably my best season to date. And it is due down to sort of hard work and stuff as well, all the travelling and trying to find your extra sessions and stuff like that. But do you know what? I really did enjoy my time at Glenavon. It turned a wee bit sour in the end up. There was a couple of things being spread about the club about me, because I don't really know why. And then the fans turned on me, and then they're saying stuff. But if the stuff was actually true, then I wouldn't have any problem in the fans saying the extra stuff. But it's not true, and I'm not really going to get into it. But it's just what happened in the end up. But I've got a lot of respect for Glenavon and what they've helped me do. So just wishing the best and move on and sort of turn a blind eye to everything else has been said.
And Gary Hamilton was always a big advocate for you, and I'm sure he must have made you feel 7 foot tall. He obviously said the count about 10 times, amount of times he said you're the best goalkeeper in the league. And I suppose as a keeper and playing for him, that's what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you all know, like, football's all to do with confidence, like, and if you have your manager pumping confidence on you every week, it's only going to help you. Do you know what I mean? Same as anybody, any other player. If your manager's calling you out and saying that you've done well, not only in the changing room, but in the press and in the interviews, he does it. It, for me personally, it's a massive booster. Just like anything, football's confidence, and if you have no confidence, you're going to struggle.
And I'm sure you're devastated when Gary left, and I know Stevie done a piece on it today, and it's in the BBC. I don't know if you've heard it, where he's chatting about his family, and he says it duck off of, or this bit of abuse has wore off a duck's back as far as Gary, but it's seeped into his family life as well. And I'm sure you've got plenty of sympathy and everyone else for that there, and what he probably went through.
Mm-hmm. No, look, I speak to Gary a couple of times a week, you know what I mean? I did see that piece today, and I can sort of relate to him, where as if it's me or Gary taking abuse, then look, it's what happens, football, like, but when your family then gets start brought on it, and that's sort of when the line's crossed, and it's not really spoken about enough, I don't think. But what can you do? Like, what can you do?
And Stevie, obviously going back to Korean, and I know there's been a bit of abuse maybe from the stands and online as well at the club. And that's where you could probably resonate with Gary in terms of, look, not only is he a football manager, people forget, not only is he a football manager, he's a human being with family at the end of the day.
Yeah, like obviously, football's an emotional game, and you know, things run high at times, and whenever results aren't going the way, people do get emotional about it all. But I think there's a line, you know, we can all voice our, you know, when we get frustrated and, you know, the results aren't going away. But when it comes personal, you know, that's when the line's been crossed, and nobody wants to see that, you know. And like, sorry, I know Gary probably said it was water off a duck's back, but I'm sure at times that he's sitting at home going, you know, if people quickly forget about what you've achieved in the game, you know, which is sad, like, you know, and that's that old saying that you're only as good as your last result.
Yeah, and what do you make of Gary's time at Glenavon, Steve? Obviously won a couple of Irish Cups, I think you qualify for Europe maybe 3 or 4 times, and you could do an Irish League XI with the players that he lost, from Johnny Tuffey, Bobby Burns, Sykes, Josh Daniels, Mitchell, all guys like that. So he continuously had a rebuild.
I think that was Gary's always saying, like, you know, when you look at the players that he could have had, you know what I mean? Like, and they would have not there challenging for maybe league titles, but he did a tremendous job. Like, in the from about 2012, 2013 onwards, like, you know, getting the Irish Cup and getting the Europe, they were regular. They were probably somewhere to Korean in a way that, you know, they were up there and challenging for honours and challenging for European places. But I think since the money's come in that's been invested, I find it really, really tough just even to attract players, because you know, suddenly you have three or four teams that can offer players a lot more money. And it's a, you know, it's a player's market, and you don't blame anybody saying, well, you're going to go to whoever's going to be the best deal. And unfortunately, teams that can have and struggle then they compete. And you can see that in the last couple of years, they just haven't had that same sort of impact. But Gary always kept them up there. And even seventh spot, like it must be two or three seasons in a row that they were finishing in there. Like, you know, so fair credit then.
Yeah, I like Gary, just said how it is. And I read there as well, at the end of the piece where he said that he just doesn't know if he could go and manage maybe a team that finishes in the bottom six, because he's absolutely got it, always losing his best players. So, but then, right, you, Rory, obviously, Korean come calling in January again. And when did you sort of know of the interest? And again, look, was it one of them things where you just probably jumped at the chance? You knew you were leaving Glenavon and Korean were in for a year.
Well, I didn't actually, well, I think Corian came about at the start of December, just after Glenavon put me on the transfer list. So then I was humming and hamming back with Yorn, and do you know what? You sit down and look at it, look how much closer to home it is. If now, if I wasn't getting home nicely 11:30, I was leaving at 4 o'clock. I've got a child that's nearly, I took him a month next month, like, and you're sort of thinking, sort of missing sort of her growing up at times, because you can't put her to bed, you're not seeing her during the day. And then Corian come calling, and you're thinking, look, sort of makes sense to me, because it's a lot closer to home. Going full-time in the summer, which is what I was after. So what more else could you want, you know what I mean?
And you don't have to say anything, but you don't have to answer, I suppose. Did you speak to Gary maybe about going to Corian? Obviously, I know Gary and Oren are close. Did you ask Gary for any of his advice? Or
spoke to Gary probably 20 times in December. So, no, look, the first thing was that the Derry City rumours started coming out. Wherever they came from, I haven't a clue, because I'd never spoken to Derry once. So then he was straight on the blower to me. Saying, what's a crack, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I don't really know, because it's a load of, like, I'm from Derry, so you can just picture what it was like for me. These things were getting put on Twitter. Your phone was going mad for 2 days about it. Like, everyone you've seen this, like, I do football, but a football coaching. All the Wains are come down, all Derry fans are saying, you signed for Derry, blah, blah, blah. I think it's a load of rubbish. But no, look, I did speak to Gary. And you know what? I was at Corian before. I know how good of a club it is. It's a good family club. And Oren came to me and just said his piece and talked about the project, really, about what's going to happen in the summer. And I had a good think about it, spoke to a couple of people, and do you know what? I couldn't turn it down.
Did Oren have to sell much to the club? I suppose you know it, you know, boys there, and Irish League, such a small family, probably just didn't, you know, did he even have to sell it to you, I suppose?
It's not that he had to sell it to me, it was just that I didn't really know much about the full-time project that was coming in. Didn't know if it was happening, and that's why I was a wee bit, not that I was hesitant, but because that's what I was looking for. I was looking for full-time football. And then he just explained to me and said that it definitely was happening. So after that, it was done. You know what I mean? Personal terms, and bang, it was gone.
I suppose, Stevie, when you're looking at the full-time aspect and Rory's, you know, can go full-time and everyone else, the deal just sort of probably made sense. Maybe Dean's able to go full-time or things like that, I suppose.
Yeah, I think obviously Oren's probably had conversations with players and what their futures want to hold, and whenever you looked at what's out there in the market, and you know, when you're looking for a goalkeeper, and obviously Rory's situation at Glenavon, it was as we said earlier about the Glen Torn thing, it was a no-brainer, like, you know what I mean? And you're getting a keeper who you're probably, as you say, goalkeepers can play in their late 30s, like, you know, so you're not even probably at your prime yet, Rory, and then you've got 150 odd appearances behind you. So like, to me, that probably ticks all the boxes that Oren was looking for. And as you say, for yourself personally, it's closer to home and the full-time aspect. So that was a win-win for both sides, so it was.
And Rory as well, obviously, Jamie McGonigal's been signed, and that'll be a headache, I'm sure, coming down the road. And there's Jack Scott as well. But obviously, you can see Oren's intent in terms of players that he's looking to sign and guys that can go full-time.
I just actually got a message off Jamie. I'm looking to go golfing, so just looking out the window here, seeing where he's looking to go with. But you can sort of, you know, Jamie well yourself, haven't I? I've had about 150 messages asking to go golfing since last week. So no, I know Jamie well. Jamie was there the first time I was there. I think he might, Big Stevie O'Donnell, he was there as well, but I can't really remember There's been quite a bit of change of players down there. Josh Carson, he was there. But I don't really know Jack Scott. But great player, you know what I mean? Probably one of one good and turned down as well when you look at it, especially going into the full time aspect as well. He's right up over the players you're looking to bring on.
I've been out golfing with Jamie, and Jamie thinks he should be in the PGA Tour. So good luck with that one. But who's your travel companions then down to Korean? And do you feel bad maybe leaving Jack Malone by himself when he's going to Glenavon from there? Then do you feel bad for him? Or
well, I think there's nine come down from there now. I think Andy Scott comes down and meets us, and there he's ready to Korean. So there's three cars have to go down every night. So now I don't have to drive. I drove every time up to Glenavon because Jack has a wee Fiesta and my knees are nearly up over the bonnet every time you're driving up the road. So I ended up driving every night. But you know, I do feel for him because not even that, the road is an absolute nightmare. It's the windiest road you'll ever get in your life. You're driving down, especially, well, don't think, I was talking in there, they're playing tomorrow night, so they're not training at night. So even the weather is bad. Oh my God, I've got a back wheel drive car as well. So a couple of boys are saying their prayers come down the road some night.
Stevie, do you fancy going from Derry to Lurgan then?
Oh, no, it's a bit of a trek, like, you know, and I always mind the boys saying about Ronan Dougherty. I think he doesn't end up near Donegal direction. He's heading to Cliftonville, was it, 3 or 4 times a week? So fair play to these boys. I remember Tony Gorman back in the day also coming back from Letterkenny, they port her down, like, you know. So now people forget that side of things. Like, you know, as Roy said earlier, you're leaving at 4 o'clock, you're not home to near bud night. You know, that's what you have to do, like, you know, but it's your family life. So it's great to see now. I'm sure you notice a big difference, you know, for your own circumstances, Roy, that you're able to get back a lot sooner and spend more time with family.
No, 100%. I was working out the other night. I think we were back from, I think I was in a house half lane quarter of time back from Corrine, and speaking to Jack, and he was only leaving Lurgan at that time. So that just shows you the massive difference. Like, I can come home and sort of chill out for a while, watch a bit of TV, whereas I was coming home and not getting me bed, maybe 1 in the morning and then up for work. So that's an hour probably positive. It's probably not going to take as much effect on my body, because you know yourself, when you're sitting in a car for so long, it's not good on the old, but not good in the body, especially when you're training and then getting straight back on there again.
And who's in your travel car then on a Tuesday and a Thursday? Stevie O'Donnell, hey, that's you need some paracetamol for that one, I'm sure.
No, I have, well, at the moment, I'm the two Jarvis and wee Lee Harkin, so it's not too bad. It's not too bad. Coley and Marty McKenzie and the other ones, so try to stay clear of that one.
And obviously, you know, you're working with Doc and you're working with Marty Gallagher. How have you found that?
No, look, I worked with Doc before, and Doc's a really good friend of my dad's. So, look, I know what I'm getting, and it's top class goalkeeping coaching. Like, and it's not even that. You need a good relationship with your coach as well if you want to even enjoy it and sort of kick on, which is what I've got. So I've no complaints there. And look, Marty's sound lad, you know what I mean? I've known Marty a long time. My dad was actually Marty's goalkeeping coach at Shute, like, years ago. So I've known Marty as well. So it's an odd positive that there's no real awkwardness or anything there. You know what I mean? You know what you're getting me, Marty, and hopefully it's the same with me.
And Stevie, we've said it so many times since Marty's been here, well, it's been Marty and Chris or Marty and Deansy, and now Marty and Rory. We're very blessed. They have two good goalkeepers.
Yeah, 100%. And like, any time Marty's had to step in, he's been brilliant. Like, you know, and it probably maybe a bit unfortunate at times that we're, you know, his command had a good spell and then maybe he's dropped out of the team. But like, he knows probably his role there at the club. But like, as I say, he's never let Corey in down. And you know, think back to whenever Deansy broke his thumb, I think it was a couple of seasons ago, and he came in for the last maybe 10 or 15 games a season. He was excellent, like, you know. So fair play to him. And it's great to see that him and Rory already have this relationship together. Like, you know, because I think that's important, like, you know, that they work well together.
And Rory, let's chat about the first two games since you came back. Obviously, look, I can see your a wry smile, but look, things just probably haven't gone the way you'd like them to. I think that would probably be a fair way of putting it.
Now, look, I done an interview last week. I praised the lads for how well they worked over the, I think it was 110 minutes when we conceded that first one against Cliftonville. And do you know what I mean? It is difficult because I can't really comment on what's happened because I'm only here a week or two, like, but these things happen, you know what I mean? And Oren's getting abuse, and do you know what I mean? He will get the club out of it, and people just need to realise that. That every team, look, I went through a spell with Gary last season where you go 10 games, 10, I think it was 10 losses in a row, and then you win a couple of games, and then you're the best man ever again. So people just need to realise that and sort of give it a chance. Saturday was difficult. It's just difficult because it wasn't really that Glentoran were that good. It was that we were that bad. And not bad as in work rate or anything like that. It was just silly mistakes that are. It's making Glentoran look good and us look bad. But it was one of those days. Like, if the penalty's gone underneath me, you save that. Maybe you two now, you're going to sneak a goal, and it could be a different game. But look, you just need to look back to the game and learn from your mistakes, watch the goals, and just make sure it doesn't happen again.
Stevie, we've seen the highlights back. Maybe fortunately enough, I wasn't there on Saturday, but it just seemed to be that anything that could go wrong on Saturday just probably did for us, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's that old cliche, isn't it? When you're down, you're struggling, everything just seems to go against you. And I think that's the problem at the moment. It's probably just a lack of confidence in the players, because there is so much weight on their shoulders at the minute, you know, and you're just looking for that one moment to turn things. And it was, as Rory said, like, you know, he's been through that before, and probably even this season, Rory, whenever you were at Glenavon, even when McDonald came in, I think you maybe lost the first four games. But once you get that first result, like, I'm sure confidence just seems to flow again. And I'm sure you'd be thinking now that if Corey can get a result, then that can spur you on to better things.
100%. Oh, look, I went through it last season, and this season went through a period as well. But look, you can't sort of look into it too much. You have to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and the results will come, but you just need to keep chipping away, and then you get to a couple of good results in a row, then it's all forgotten about. Like, so that's what you hope for, and you hope that it comes soon.
Obviously, Stevie, we're now out of the top six. We're doing seventh in goal difference in Carrick on Saturday, and we find them very, very difficult this year. And obviously, look, they're all their eyes set, maybe trying to take advantage of maybe us not having much confidence.
Yeah, 100%. You know what Sturdy's teams are all about. Like, you know, they work hard, and they put it up to you. Like, we were both up there recently whenever Portadown beat them in the cup, and it was a real battle. Like, and I'm sure Sturdy will have them primed. They come down in the showgrounds this Saturday. Like, I don't think they've won at the showgrounds. Is it something like 15 odd years or something like that? So I know they came close there not so long ago, and I'm sure Sturdy will have them that target for them. Like, you know, but as Rory says, like, you know, the boys just have to keep chipping away and working hard, which I'm sure that they will do. And you just hope that they can pull something out of the bag. Like, but as every manager tells us, there's no easy games in this league. So, you know, every week they're going to be in for a battle, and it's about who stands up to it, and, you know, hopefully you get a wee bit of luck along the way.
Roy, what's your thoughts heading into that one? Will you be getting the long johns on in case it's absolutely Baltic out there on Saturday?
No, look, it's actually glad it's a 4G pitch, because the weather wasn't so great there a couple of weeks ago at Morangie, and you were coming in after the warm-up. Like, you were just after a swimming in a swamp, like, so it's probably a good side of being on the 4G pitch now. But no, look, as Stephen said, you know what you're getting with Carrick. Like, they don't play a lot of football. They do very much put it up to you, and it'll be a very physical game, and just something you have to deal with and be prepared for.
And obviously as well, I know you can't look too far ahead, but the following week just happens to be Glenavon, and how much do you think they'll get a wee bit of jip from the away end whenever you're at the other side of the fence? So
1,000,000%, I'll be getting jip, but seeing on what. As I said, I can take it. It's then when it goes a step further, when your family start getting brought on, that's when it's crossing the line. But look, I don't mind about a shouting and rumbling, but that'll be a big one, because they've just got, well, they were level on points now, I think, are we?
Yeah.
They go on goal difference, but look, they play the Glens tomorrow night, so we play Carrick, so you're hoping we get a result, and then it's a big one next week, then they sort of secure that sixth spot.
And Stevie, I know you were on your travels there this week, and you're at one of the League Cup semi-finals, and and Portadown had some mad result as well, obviously beating Glenavon, and that'll be a big crowd for that final in March.
Yeah, we know Portadown and their history, and like it was great to see Moorview. I think it was fully sold out the other night, so it was, and it's great to see atmosphere there. I think Glenavon probably kicking themselves a wee bit, they've seen that as a bit of a missed opportunity, but you look at that Portadown side, and you would say there's probably a vast majority of them could still be playing in the Premiership, so yeah, I would say they'll bring a big following with them to Wonder that day, and I think the Blues, although they're in for a game, but it'd be hard to see past Longford probably going on and winning it again, but it's a good occasion. It's good to see another team getting a chance on it. Like, you know.
I'm putting you on the spot here. I probably should have asked you before a podcast. What's your thoughts on Longford's second goal, offside or onside?
Oh, I think Fitzy gets away with one there. Like, I'm sure as a goalkeeper, Rory, you probably saw that and thought he's definitely interfering with playing. I think that's what puts Steggy Dunn a bit off. He takes his attention away from the ball, and I know Rodney was less than impressed that the goal stood, like, you know, and it proved pivotal in the end, like, you know, when they go on and won the 2-1.
Am I frozen?
No, you're there.
Sorry. No, I definitely. I think Deggy Dunn will come out and collect the ball if Fitzy isn't on the way. So there you go, there's my answer. I definitely would have been booked after that. So I'm not commenting any of the referees. We'll leave it at that just.
Well, lads, that was a great chat. Obviously, Roy, great to chat with you, and welcome to Corian. And there'll definitely be brighter days ahead, even though it was a wee bit dull outside and we've lost our first two games. But I think things will definitely turn, and fingers crossed that we can get off to a good start on Saturday. And Stevie as well, where are you for on Saturday with the Belfast Live? Do you know yet?
Well, we're heading to Moorview tomorrow night on Friday night, so then I think it'll be for the showgrounds on Saturday, like obviously a big game, like, so a lot at stake in both games, so it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully the Bantiders can put this losing streak behind them and finally get that back to one of them ways. But I think either way it's gonna be a good game.
Yeah, I know, I agree with you. Get the hat and scarf ready, and Rory, get the Gerwyn Price earphones ready for the following Saturday. home to Glenavon. So lads, many thanks for your time, and thanks for everybody listening in. And please support our sponsors as best as you can. And as always, come on the Bantiders.